Well, I want to ask this question rhetorically, because I would be afraid of some of the answers if it was like you were supposed to respond out loud. But how are we supposed to love someone that we can't stand, right? So, Kim, there's the response. It's rhetorical, Kim. I'm just joking. So how are you supposed to love someone that you just can't stand? And here's the really rhetorical, okay? So you can kind of think out your response, but try not to say it out loud, especially if that person's beside you. But how many of us have someone in our lives that we just can't stand? Would you say that you've got people in your life that you can't stand? This week, I want to look at 1 John. And so our reading this week was 1 John chapters 1 through 5. And there's going to be a verse on the screen. And this kind of frames, so the whole emphasis of what we're going to get into today is on relationships with each other, okay? But chapter 2, verse 6 in 1 John says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So, and another kind of follow-up question, I'm really wanting you to think today, okay? So you got to step out of the... You're not just a spectator. You got to like engage a little bit, okay? But would you be able to confidently say that you live your life just like Jesus? Like, is that something that we'd be super confident about? I remember one time I was speaking somewhere, and there was a person in the audience who I knew really well and who had a lot of, you know, pretty major challenges and challenges with other people as well. And I asked a question similar to that. I asked about, you know, would you be confident enough to tell people they should follow you? And I remember everybody in the crowd going like this, and this one person was going, and I was like, I don't know if you're tracking with the question. But this statement here that we read in 1 John chapter 2, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So if we make the claim that we live in God, what Scripture tells us is that we should actually live our lives like Jesus. And so the question that I asked when I was looking through the whole book of 1 John, and today, usually when I'm speaking from one of the five chapters that we've read, I zero in on like one passage. But today, I want to give a little bit of an overview of the book of 1 John. And in 1 John, over and over again, it's quite repetitious. You'll see that because my kids and Dylan are going to read some scripture for us. But it's quite repetitious in talking about how we're supposed to live like Jesus. And so he makes this statement, live like Jesus. And so the question that we should have is, well, what does that mean? What do you mean live like Jesus, right? Because that could mean all kinds of things. But what John consistently, and the guy that wrote 1 John is the same one who wrote the Gospel of John that's earlier in the New Testament. And what he's consistently saying here is love each other, love each other, love each other. And the reason I ask the question, like, how easy is it to love someone you can't stand, is because I think all of us, at some point in our lives, have faced a relationship with somebody that we just have a really difficult time with or that we can't stand, right? Like, it's kind of something that we've all faced, we've all had to deal with. It's easy to love somebody that you like, right? Like, if somebody that, like, you get along with or they make you feel good or whatever, like, it's super easy to love someone like that. But what Scripture challenges us with is loving people that are actually challenging. And so I'm going to invite my kids to come up, and they're going to read some Scripture for us. I wanted to kind of give like an overview of 1 John, and I didn't want to be all my voice. And so I asked for some help. You want to read? Okay, sure. And so you guys can come on up. And this will be up on the screen. You can follow along. And enjoy, and just allow the Lord to speak to you through his word as we dive in. So make sure you stand right in front of the mic.
Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you are also living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims, I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness.
Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever.
This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us.
Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us Spirit as proof that we live in him, and he is in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes, and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they will live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have to put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see?
You should see when we're out on a hike. He flips off of stuff randomly. Never know what's going to happen. So I hope you heard the repetition in this section. So as I said, the same author that wrote 1 John wrote the Gospel of John. And if you study in the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 18, Jesus gives this really long message to his followers. And over again, what Jesus emphasizes to his followers is love each other, love each other, love each other. And the reason he did that is because his disciples were a lot like you and I. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. Like, we get studying into the Bible, and we try to figure out, like, what should I believe as a Christian? What should I do? What types of things should I say? And how should I, you know, live out my faith? And we get into all these, like, complex questions at times. And studying theology, studying the Bible is a good thing. But what Jesus knew was that we need things to be simple, or else we're going to be off on some tangent somewhere doing things that are not in line with his will. And so the message he was getting across to his followers was like, if you forget everything else, love each other. Believe me, what he said, and you can see that in here too. It's one of the other main themes. Believe in Jesus, believe in his death and resurrection, and then love each other. And lay your lives down for each other. Like, keep it really, really simple. And so today, from 1 John, I just want to draw out, there's three main lessons that I want to draw out in this, and this will be up on the screen. And the three lessons are, the first one is to focus your love on what lasts forever. Love does not necessarily equal trust. This is super important. When we talk about love, especially if you're a person who's been through abuse or you've lost trust in people for valid reasons, sometimes in discussions on love, it could come across like, well, those feelings are invalid, or you're supposed to just love, you know, an abuser. And sometimes we think love is trust, and love does not necessarily equal trust. You can express love without there being a trust in a person, and we'll talk about how Jesus actually did that. And then the third one is that love is tangible. So love is not just a word, and I've said this before, but when I used to work at Harvest House, it was the outreach ministry my dad started, there was a guy that I was really close friends with, but hadn't spent too much time with, and I told him one day, I said, I love you. And he was like, well, then take me for a coffee sometime, right? And it really hit me hard. I never forgot it. This was like over 10 years ago. And the reason it hit me was because he was saying, well, you say it, but show it. Like, don't just say it. You know, I'm struggling. I'm going through a hard time. Like, just if you're going to tell me you love me and not do anything about it, then it doesn't mean anything. So he was saying to me, like, well, take me for a coffee then. And it made this big impression on me where I was like, man, love is tangible. Like, it's not just the word. And I think sometimes, and you can, you know, agree or disagree with this, but you've probably had people that use the word love or talk about love but don't actually show it, and it could make you quite angry sometimes when love is not expressed, right? And the scriptures are so clear. Like, love is, like, it's not just a word. God doesn't sit from heaven and look down on our struggles and difficulty and go, oh, I love them. Like, here in the scriptures, he makes it so clear. Like, Jesus willingly stepped into our suffering. He actually, like, put skin on. He came in the form of a human being and struggled alongside of us and tangibly showed us love. Jesus' very name means Emmanuel, God with us. That's one of the names we talk about a lot at Christmas time. You know, there's some beautiful Christmas songs about that. But it means God with us. It's not, God doesn't just express love and say, well, have fun with, you know, your struggles and see you later, right? Hope it all works out for you. Like, it's expressed in real, tangible ways. And so those are the three lessons. Focus your love on what lasts forever. Love does not necessarily equal trust, and love is always tangible. In the scripture verse that Esther read, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it talks about not going after the things of the world. And so, and this is what I want to draw out, focus your love on what lasts forever. It says not to pursue things that the world offers, like physical pleasure, everything we see, and pride, and our achievements. And this will be on the screen. Verse 17 says, the world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. So sometimes we focus our love on things that are temporary. And he says it right here in 1 John. He says physical pleasure, things that we see, pride in our achievements. I want everybody just, like, look beside you to the person next to you for a minute. Just look at and notice that there are people next to you. The people next to you have eternal value. The things that this world has to offer, like achievements, physical pleasure, those things, the scriptures tell us, do not last forever. So to take it a step further, and maybe the person beside you is this person, but the person that you can't stand is an eternal being, right? The person that you really struggle with, the person that you wrestle with, the person that you have a difficult time interacting with, they are an eternal being. And so the lesson from 1 John, what he's saying is like, when you focus your love on something, focus it on what is eternal, not on what's temporary. A lot of us get caught up focusing our love on things that are temporary. And so maybe you've done something really great, like maybe you earned a degree, or you have a great job, or you have a dream vehicle that either you're going to have someday, or maybe you have your dream vehicle now. Cheryl has her dream vehicle. She has a Jeep, because whenever we all do great big hikes together, she just shows off that she can drive down these trails that I can't with my minivan. Side story, I took my kids on a hike yesterday, and we pulled off, and it was a new place, and I didn't know where to park, and so I pulled off into the snow a little bit, and I have new winter tires on my van. And anyways, we went and we did this little hike up this river, and it was really pretty, and we came back, and I put the van in reverse, and I couldn't move. My tires were just spinning, and I'm like, no way. Like, these are brand new winter tires. And so I went forward and backward and forward and backward, and then I gave it, and it was like, it moved a little bit, and I was like, oh, we're getting out of here. Anyways, after a couple minutes of this, I realized my emergency brake was on. I was like, so it's not just because I don't have a Jeep. Sometimes it's just because I do stupid, dumb things. So to love things, okay, like if you put where I was, I wasn't planning to tell that story. That just was like, that was just for free, okay? Just to show you, God can use anybody, okay? All right, so if he can use me, he can use anyone. But our love, a lot of times, we put our love in things that are temporary. We focus our love on things that don't last forever. And then we don't love people well. And what the scriptures teach us is that people last forever. He says, I want to read that verse again. The world is fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. On the next slide, I'll put this up. It says, the person who loves Jesus but annoys the heck out of you will last forever. But that thing that you love in this world is only temporary. And 1 John is one of Jesus' disciples who's teaching after the resurrection of Christ, and he's teaching a community a lot like Transformation Church. So it was a community of people that had come together, and they said, we believe that Jesus lived, that he died, that he rose again, and that if we put our faith in him, we could be with God for all eternity. And just like Transformation Church, it was made up of people who were imperfect and sometimes had struggles with each other, and they had struggles with their neighbor, they had struggles with whatever. And John, one of these disciples of Jesus, is reminding these people, he's saying, you know, if you want to be like Jesus, you've got to love other people. You can't love things that are not eternal. And we get tempted with that oftentimes. You know, we get caught up loving the things that are not eternal. I was really blessed to have an opportunity to go to school. It was later than usual. Most people do it right out of high school. But I had a chance to go to university when I was 26 and earned a BA. And one of the things that I've really been cautious of is I was like, that BA that I earned in university really doesn't matter at all to God if I'm not actually loving people. You know, I've been around a lot of people that there's this sense of pride in achievements. And it's kind of made me afraid, because the more that I study the scriptures, the more I learn about what Jesus is like and who he is, the more I'm like, he doesn't care about all the things that we care about in the same way that we care about them. You know, we could go having all of these things that the world says is really important, that the world says is really valuable, and place all kinds of, you know, love on those things. But to God, he's saying, those things matter very little in my economy. What matters is, are you loving other people? And God's system, and we'll see it someday, the Bible says very clearly, like, there's a day coming, we're all going to stand before God on what's called Judgment Day. And he's going to judge everyone. And the way that he judges is very different than the way that we judge. For the things that make us feel prestigious and feel all good, he's not concerned with those things. What he's concerned with is, are we loving others? Like, do we actually believe what he says, and does it make a difference in the way that we live? And so my challenge to you, the lesson from this, is to love what is eternal, not what is temporary. Don't get concerned with the things that are temporary. Love, focus your love on what is eternal. The second lesson, love doesn't necessarily equal trust. And I'm going to read, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because there's incredible wisdom here in how Jesus interacts with people. Do you realize that Jesus doesn't actually trust people very easily? Like, his love for you and I is more than you've ever experienced in any relationship in your entire life. But he also realizes that you and I, we're actually far worse than we'd ever admit. Like, we're far worse. A lot of times we justify our behavior. We make ourselves, I'm a pretty good person. I hear this all the time. Like, people, like, I'm a pretty good person. But the more the closer I get to Jesus, the more I read his word, the more I'm like, I'm not a good person at all. Like, right? And so Jesus knows that. So his love for us is grand. It's huge. It's awesome. It's big. But he doesn't always trust people. And we need to learn that lesson. In at the end of John chapter 2, this will be on the screen, Jesus had just done a miracle, and people were freaking out. They're all following him. They all thought he was awesome. They thought he was super cool. And unlike most people, Jesus doesn't get really excited about a large Instagram following. Okay, so if Jesus had Instagram today and he had millions of followers, he'd be like, whatever. He's not concerned with a large Instagram, Facebook following. He's not concerned with crowds of people shouting his name. He's concerned with, like, what's really going on in your heart? Do you actually authentically have a relationship with God? Verses 23 to 25 in John chapter 2 says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. Now, catch this. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. So I really want you to catch this. This will be really valuable for you as you move forward in the rest of your life. You can't find a better example of someone loving people than Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the perfect expression of God. He's the perfect expression of love. Like, there is no greater example. There is no higher morality. There is no one greater. Jesus is the perfect one. And so Jesus, he had gone out and he had done some miracles and crowds of people were following him and they're screaming his name and they're saying, Jesus is awesome. He's amazing. He's the superstar. And the scriptures tell us, like, Jesus didn't trust those people because he knew all about humanity. He knew what was in the human heart. And you and I would do well to have the same outlook. Sometimes we're a little too quick to trust in a person. And then we're let down big time because of it. And so loving somebody, you can tangibly express love for a person. You can show them love in incredible ways. You can be a loving person. You can show them the love of God, do all these kinds of things without trusting in that person. You know, a lot of the hurt people experience in church or just in relationships in general, but I hear it a lot from the perspective of people have been hurt by church because I'm a pastor, and so people tell me that, and oh, I've been hurt by church, I don't want to go back there. I think it's because we haven't done what Jesus clearly did, was that he loved people, but he didn't trust them because he knew what was in the human heart. We live in a day right now, more than ever, I don't know how aware you are of this, but there's, it seems like every few weeks or every month or so, there's some big name preacher that has a moral failure. You know, and if you haven't heard of that happening up till this point, you will, right? Some big name person who goes around proclaiming the love and goodness of God has some, they walk away from their faith or they have like a huge moral failure. And you know, a lot of people, they struggle in their own faith when something like that happens. Like, well, man, if that person could walk away from God or if that person could cheat on their spouse, then it must all be fake. But if we would learn from Jesus here, like, love, it doesn't mean trust. And sometimes we have to be careful in how much trust we give to a human being. So what I want to encourage you with, and hear this, trust God, and this will be on the screen, trust God and love people. Like, give all of your trust to God. God is faithful. He will never let you down. He will never fail you. God is consistent. You know, in the middle of a coronavirus when things are just unsettling and things are uneasy, we don't know the future, like, God is consistent. He's never going to change. He doesn't move. He doesn't budge. He doesn't get afraid. God doesn't sit in heaven and go, oh, my land, what am I going to do now? Right? Like, he doesn't get stressed out. He doesn't get overwhelmed. Like, you can trust God. And what God is asking of us to do, and the lesson I want to encourage you with here is trust God. Love people, but trust. Put your trust in God and then express your love to those that God has put into your life. But be careful how much trust you put into a person or even in a leader. Our trust has to be reserved for God. And so Jesus, he was so effective. And you think about it in Jesus' life. I honestly, a lot of times when I think about Jesus and the way that he was betrayed, I have a hard time imagining how he could continue to express love to his disciples. The people that he got closest to here on earth, some of the people that wrote the scriptures that we read and cherish, like we cherish the scriptures that God has given us. You know, some of the people that wrote, that God used, he inspired them to write the scriptures so that we'd be impacted years and years later. Some of these people betrayed Jesus. You know what baffles me is that you've got Jesus on the night that he was arrested and on the night that he was, you know, standing on trial for things that he hadn't done and he was about to be sentenced to go to the cross and die. On that night, the people that were closest to him, every single one of them abandoned him. And then Peter, who was in the inner circle, stood and lied about Jesus, saying, I don't know. He claimed not even to know him. The people that were, like, Jesus did well to realize, like, humans are weak. Humans are fickle. Humans are just, like, given over to things so easily. And so he didn't put his trust in humans. He put his trust in God, and he expressed his love to people. And you and I would do well to learn that lesson. You know, a lot of times we're so hurt because we put trust in humans, and we expect them to be sort of like how God is. But God is saying, no, put your trust in me. And I'm going to spend my life trying to point people to that reality. Like, trust God. He won't let you down. People will, but God won't let you down. He always comes through. And then the third lesson, and so I'm going to read them again. So the first two, focus your love on what lasts forever. Second is love does not necessarily equal trust. And then third, love is always tangible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. So there's a myth that love is this warm, fuzzy feeling that we get. And sometimes that warm, fuzzy feeling makes us express loving acts to somebody that we like, or sometimes we even get that warm, fuzzy feeling to go and do something for somebody we don't know, and that's good. But the myth is that if that warm, fuzzy feeling is not there, then I'm not experiencing love. And the scriptures are so clear. Love is action. You know, you've heard, people have sung about this for like years and years. Love is a verb, right? There's been so many songs that have put that into their lyrics. Love is a verb. And there's truth in that. Like, love is actually, it's tangible. It's something that you can see. It's something that you experience. And so what I want to encourage you with is to be people. If you're someone who says, yes, I believe Jesus, like I follow God, I want to encourage you to express love with action, regardless of how you feel. And I would take it even further. I would encourage you to express love with action, especially when you don't feel like it. Like, especially when your feelings are like, no, I don't really want to do it. Like, be somebody who says, you know what, I'm not going to be controlled by my feelings. I'm going to express love in action. And I guarantee you, if you make a decision to say, yes, I'm going to do that, God will start to impress it on your heart to express love to people that you would not normally do it to. Even people that, the person that annoys you or angers you, like, you'll start to express love to them. And that's been something that, and I would say, not as a pastor, like, just as a Jesus follower. I remember years ago, like, I just being convicted with this, and the reason I want to distinguish between, you know, what my convictions are as a pastor versus what my convictions are as a follower of Jesus, I think sometimes preaching a message like this, if you're listening, you're like, oh, well, it's different for you, you're a pastor. But I want, like, God's word is not written to, here's how the pastors should live. God's word is like, if you're a Jesus follower, this is how you live, this is how you behave. I want to encourage you, like, be someone who's willing to express love in tangible ways, even to people you struggle with or people you're afraid of. Maybe people that irritate you. Like, be willing to express love in tangible ways. And the reason I wanted the second point is that love isn't always trust. I'm not encouraging you, and the scriptures don't tell us to go trusting people that are potentially dangerous. But the scriptures do tell us to express love in tangible ways. We can trust God wholeheartedly with our whole being and express love in tangible ways. And you know, I wasn't, when I was preparing this message, I didn't realize that we were going to have the testimony that Cheryl shared, because it was actually me that put you on the spot, because Jeremy shared this morning that story, and I was like, we need to have that shared. Like, I really think that was a God thing, but just like being willing to go out and express love to somebody you don't know, that maybe it makes you feel a little bit nervous, and you know, somebody shows up with a baseball bat, like that crazy part of the story, and you're expressing love in a tangible way, like it broke down barriers in the way that the team was able to express love to somebody who showed up with a baseball bat. Like, that would normally make you afraid, but like expressing love in tangible ways breaks barriers down and reveals to people who God actually is. He's a God that's willing to step into sometimes dangerous situations. He's a God that's willing to step into awkward situations. His love is incredible. You know, in the, again, the example of Jesus, the way that he expressed love to his disciples, if you actually look at the lives of the disciples, and so Jesus famously had 12 disciples. They were 12 men that followed him, and he taught them. If you actually look at the lives of those disciples, it's the equivalent of having like a Republican and a Democrat and a pacifist and like all these people that would like just be so angry at each other. And Jesus brought this group of men together and showed them what his plan was. And he showed them how they can go out and be agents of light and fighting on God's team and carrying out God's mission as opposed to their own. And so it's interesting, and it'd be interesting to do a study on that someday, to study like the political movements that some of these disciples were involved in, and how like there's just no way, unless God was at work, that these men could actually love each other and get along. And what Jesus was saying was like, faith in Jesus, faith in the cross, faith in what he has done unites people that come from crazy different backgrounds, and love is expressed in tangible ways. And so when you think about Jesus, the scene where he washes the disciples' feet, and probably most of you are familiar with that story, he was telling them, he was saying, I am God in the flesh, I am your master, and I washed your feet. How much more should you go and do this for each other? And so what Jesus is teaching and what he's saying here, you know, in 1 John is that our love has to be expressed in tangible terms. And so I want to encourage you this week. I want to put this last slide up. It's overwhelming when you think about the issues going on in the world. And it's overwhelming. And I've talked about this quite a few times. But a lot of times when I look at the issues and challenges that our city is faced with, I get sad. Like, I just get sometimes just discouraged. Like, I look around at addiction or the apathy, the indifference, the racial tension, all the stuff, and I just feel overwhelmed. I'm like, man, I don't know like how I could do anything that's going to make any bit of a difference. And then we live in a really different time. Like, this wasn't a reality 20 years ago, but we all have access to social media, so we know what's going on in Iran and Greece and China and all over the world. And we're seeing, you know, catastrophes, and we're seeing, you know, families broken up. I was on a trip to Sri Lanka as a part of my internship before coming to Thunder Bay. After getting back from there, so this only happened a couple years ago, there was this mass shooting in Sri Lanka where people went into churches and just opened fired. And I knew some people there that were affected by that. Like, it just sometimes this world feels heavy. Like, you look at all the things going on, you're like, man, how do you face this? How do you deal with it? Andy Stanley is a preacher down in the States. He said, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. So do for one person what you wish you could do for the world. And what I want to encourage you with is, like, don't let the heaviness of what goes on in this world discourage you to the point of inaction. Don't let the heaviness of what you see going on in this world discourage you to the point of inaction. Don't give in to that lie that says you're not going to make any difference anyway. It doesn't really matter. And that's my confession to you this morning. I face that struggle in my own heart. Like, I look at what's going on, and I think, what could I do? And what God is asking of you and I is to, I believe Andy Stanley hit the nail on the head, and it's in line with what we're looking at in 1 John. Like, do for one person what you wish you could do for everybody. Like, respond. And I think we were praying this morning, and one of the things that the Lord really impressed on my heart while we were praying this morning is sometimes we're praying for God to just move citywide or nationwide. We want God to do this major work in all of Canada or in the city of Thunder Bay, which is good. But we forget the little things he wants us to do in the lives of the people that we're in touch with. So don't forget that. And my application, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And we're going to close with a couple songs. My application is I just want to encourage you this week, in response to the scripture we're looking at, to respond to somebody in your life in a tangible way with love. Like, just be someone who's willing to say, okay, I'm actually going to put into practice what it looks like to be like Jesus. And it might specifically mean tangibly showing love to that person that you can't stand. Like, it might just be some way of expressing I love you, which doesn't mean trust. It doesn't mean you're a person's best friend, but expressing love in a tangible way. God empowers us to do that. And what I would encourage you is to actually, you know, I think every sermon should have application. Like, what does this mean for our real life? But especially a sermon about love. If we listen to these scriptures and we listen to what God is saying about love and we're like, oh yeah, and we just kind of go about our lives as normal, we've totally missed it. Because John here makes it so clear. He says love is so much more than just a verbal expression. It's an action. And so what I would encourage us with this week is to intentionally be people that express love in real and tangible ways with real people, and ask God to help you to be able to do that. And also, too, we're going to, as we sing these songs, if you're somebody that you're not a follower of Christ, you've never invited Jesus in, just even as we sing, I just want to encourage you, like, if God is speaking to your heart in any way and you're like, man, this message of love is greater than anything the world has ever expressed, like, I want to tell you, like, Jesus is the expression of love. He is God in the flesh. And he tells us that we can have a relationship with him. And so even as we sing in worship, if you want to invite Christ in, I would encourage you to do that. And then come talk to one of us afterwards. We'd love to have that conversation with you. But let's just stand. And I'm going to pray, and then we'll close with a couple songs. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for love. I thank you that, Jesus, you didn't just say you loved us from a place of disinterest or being aloof. Lord, you actually showed it in action. Jesus, some of the scriptures we read reveal that you came, you died on a cross for us. You rose again, making it possible to have a relationship with you. Lord, you showed your love in action, and I thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to become people who actually live out what that means. Lord, it doesn't mean that all of us are going to be out on the streets on a Friday night, but all of us are called to be people who express love in real ways, in action, in tangible ways. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd empower us to be people who express your love. Lord, that we would be able to be people that express your love so much that it actually gives hope to people around us that feel discouraged or feel overwhelmed or aren't sure what to do in these difficult, challenging, kind of crazy times. Lord, I just pray that you would empower us to be people that are a lot like you, that live like Jesus, like John talked about. I just pray you bless the rest of our time, Lord, just as we sing these last couple songs. We invite you to continue speaking to us, leading us, challenging us. We invite you into this time, Lord, in Jesus' name.